Although it may seem shallow, one of my biggest pet peeves is being subjected to the onslaught of a noxious fragrance, forced upon me against my will, whether the smell is wafting from inside the Abercrombie & Fitch or Bath & Body Works shops onto the street, or it's caused by scented candles or air fresheners dominating a room, or, almost worst of all, if it's attached to another person in the form of perfume, hair products, body spray, or laundry detergent and fabric softeners. There's something incredibly offensive to me about being subjected to an overwhelming fragrance. And yet, we've been so culturally conditioned to embrace chemical scents as a way to mask our natural odors that we quietly accept exposure to these non-regulated, carcinogenic air pollutants on a daily basis. Even though research continues to expose dirty little secrets about our obsession with scents. I'm marriage and family therapist Elizabeth Barrett, local practitioner, wife, mother, educator, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, my monthly musings about the current state of our collective mental health and a look at how we are aiding or getting in the way of our own well-being. When it comes to the subject of smells, I realize that my impassioned stance against these attacks on our olfactory senses isn't very popular. As a collective whole, we sure seem to like all of the manufactured smellies, and the fragrance industry spends a lot of money in researching the effect of different chemical concoctions on our senses to make sure that we are drawn to and hooked on the overwhelming assortment of scented items we purchase and use every day. They've done a great job of selling the American public on the idea that natural odors are unacceptable, and that adding perfumed additives to everything from laundry soap to lotion makes us more attractive, acceptable, and somehow enhances the quality of our lives. But that's really an entirely different topic, exploring the connection between body image and self-esteem. Today, though, I'm more focused on the unintended consequences we experience in our quest for smelling good. And it's not just because I feel personally assaulted by the overwhelming use of all things scented. And I know I'm not alone in detesting manufactured smells, as evidenced by the growing number of professionals who ask clients to refrain from using scented products when visiting their offices. No, it is not merely the fragrances that bother me. I'm also concerned about the health risks and dangers associated with using all of these scented products. Companies in the business of selling fragrances want you to believe that the practice of adding scents to products is really very benign. You wouldn't expect a product that simulates the smell of a summer day to make you sick, or that the sexy scent of your popular cologne might actually be inhibiting your ability to successfully choose a mate, or may be contributing to the rise in respiratory ailments. But they do, and they are. They're making us sick and impacting our interpersonal relationships. Even those products that claim to be natural, organic, and green. When it comes to purchasing and using scented products, it's truly a case of buyer beware, because many of the most toxic of the chemicals we inhale every day aren't even listed or labeled on the products that we buy. 1/3 of all Americans develop headaches and breathing problems when exposed to scented products. Many develop such severe sensitivities and reactions that they're forced to completely alter their lives to avoid any contact with fragrances. A study published in the Environmental Impact Assessment Review looked at 25 common fragranced consumer products, including air fresheners, deodorizers, laundry products, all-purpose cleaners, and personal care items like soaps, lotions, and shampoos. Researchers found that these 25 products emitted over 133 different volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, an average of 17 per product. And nearly 1/4 of these VOCs are considered toxic or hazardous under federal laws, and none of these chemicals were listed as ingredients on the products, which is legal, because no U.S. law requires the disclosure of all chemicals in consumer products. What I find most disturbing is that half of the products tested claim to be natural or organic, and yet the chemical compounds in the supposedly natural products were not significantly different from those found in the other non-organic products. Basically, if the product had any kind of fragrance or scent, It emitted toxic chemicals. And these toxins, when inhaled, go directly into the bloodstream without any warning. By the time you smell the scent, the chemicals are already in your system. There is also some evidence linking the chemicals in air fresheners to many mood disorders, especially those in children who are the most susceptible to the airborne toxins. A similar study commissioned by the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics was conducted on 17 of the most popular perfumes and colognes, brands like Axe, Old Spice, Victoria's Secret, Chanel, and Abercrombie & Fitch. They found an average of 14 unlisted chemicals in each of the products, including sensitizers, which are known to cause allergic reactions such as asthma attacks, headaches, and skin inflammation. Also present in the perfumes and colognes were endocrine disruptors, which impair normal hormonal development and have been linked to health issues including sperm damage, thyroid disruption, reproductive problems, ADHD, and cancer. Some of the pollutants actually accumulate in the body fat and remain there for a lifetime and are then passed on to the next generation through mother's milk. What makes this all the more upsetting is the aggressive marketing that's done by the manufacturers to push their fragrances, targeting not only adults, but also teenagers and young adults who habitually drench themselves with cologne and body wash, believing the advertising claims that these chemicals will make them attractive to the opposite sex. Every quarter, I challenge my college students to go scent-free, to rid their routines of all products containing manufactured scents, including shampoos, deodorants, body sprays, laundry detergent, fabric softeners, and perfumes. I do this partially to reduce the chemical cocktails swirling around my classroom, but mostly I offer this challenge to make them aware of the many dangers associated with their daily habits and to encourage them to embrace their own unique scent and essence as being a key to their attraction. They are, as a whole, generally pretty reluctant to attempt any such drastic change to their norm. It's hard for them to imagine not masking their natural odors. They've been brainwashed into believing that their natural smell is unpleasant and needs to be covered up by fragrance. It's disheartening, to say the least. But I usually find a few converts, if not out of concern for their own health and well-being, but when I start talking about scent as it relates to attraction, reproduction, and mate selection. Because there is also quite a bit of research demonstrating how our sense of smell is actually critical in our search for the best partner for creating offspring and making a lifelong commitment. We are, after all, at our core, animals, and we unconsciously utilize our sense of smell as a key indicator in mate selection, something that the fragrance industry understands very well and exploits to create scents that mimic the scents that are released through our hormones during the mating process. When it comes to men and sexual attraction, recent research shows that men's testosterone levels, which are linked to sexual interest, are significantly higher when they smell the shirt worn by a woman who's ovulating. This may not be the best way for men to select a long-term partner, but it does support the idea that our natural scent is an effective way of attracting the opposite sex. And more importantly, it calls into question the impact that covering our natural essence with manufactured scents has on mating, dating, and marriage. Another study testing mate selection and scent had female volunteers sniff t-shirts that had been worn for a couple days by different men. The women were asked to identify those shirts they found the most pleasant. The results found that most of the women were attracted to the scents of the shirts worn by men who had immune systems that were most dissimilar to their own, which, if this couple were to reproduce, would ensure stronger and healthier offspring. It turns out that all humans have a unique odor print, and women have a unique talent for identifying through smell their best genetic match. Further research based on this original study also speculated that these couples with complementary immune systems also enjoy more successful marriages and long-term unions. There was also another part of this t-shirt research that was actually unexpected and calls into question the impact of oral contraceptives on mate selection. Because the birth control pill seems to interact and interfere with the olfactory attraction in women. As it turns out, the women in the t-shirt study who were on the pill actually selected the t-shirts worn by men who had genetic profiles most similar to them, which would not be the best match for creating offspring. The women taking the pill reported finding the t-shirts of those who would be the best physical match pleasant, like the scent of their brother or father, but did not find them sexually attractive. This change in attraction for women on the pill was also noted in studies where women reported not being sexually attracted to their husbands once they stopped taking the pill in order to have children. And some women have reported a loss of sexual attraction to their partners when they started taking the pill. Now, I'm not suggesting that we abandon oral contraceptives because they've helped to revolutionize the life of women for over 40 years. But it might be a good idea for a woman to stop taking the pill for a month or two before making a lifelong commitment to ensure that she's sniffed out the perfect mate. The same can be said for going scent-free. It's probably really important to get a good long whiff of the natural essence of our future mates to be sure that our odors are in sync. Because of the research, it can be argued that if we mask our body odor, we make it more challenging to make a healthy, intimate connection. Because although we might enjoy the smell of someone's perfume or laundry detergent, we're ultimately compromising some of our more instinctual parts of the attraction and mating process, and ultimately threatening our own health and well-being. And it's interesting, when long-term couples are interviewed, they'll often talk about their attraction to the natural musky scent of their partner and how scent actually played a role in knowing they were with the right person. As a therapist, it makes me wonder if there might not be some small connection between the introduction of the pill and the meteoric rise of divorce which closely followed. I'm sure that the rapid cultural changes at that time were greatly to blame in the spike in failed marriages, but we can't overlook the unintended consequences of our belief in better living through chemistry and how our rapid adoption of these chemicals into our bodies may have impacted our lives. To reduce your own exposure to the toxins in scented products, experts suggest using baking soda, hydrogen peroxide, and vinegar as cleaning alternatives. Or cut a lemon or utilize sprigs of natural herbs like lavender or mint as air fresheners. And there are many ways to use natural products like mayonnaise, avocado, salt, and olive oil in place of shampoos and lotions. Aside from that, at the very least, give up the perfumes and body sprays, get rid of the scented detergents and fabric softeners, and opt for products that are hypoallergenic and unscented. Your body and I will thank you. This has been another conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Please join me again next month at the same time, the first Wednesday at 4:15. Until then, you can listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org under the Program Archives tab. I always welcome your feedback to elizabeth@theparentway.com. Thank you for listening and supporting Public Radio KCBX.